Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
What's this at? Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal here today. I have a special guest, Sophia, today. And because Mitchell has to depart early for medical reasons, we're going to take callers early at the top of the second hour. Sophia will be joining us at the bottom of the first to give maximal opportunity. I'm sure many of you will want to speak with her. Get this, closest Putin advisor says he ought to nuke the UK off the map to stop the Ukraine war in World War III. One of the closest and most trusted advisors to Russian President Vladimir Putin had formally told his boss that a massive use of nuclear weapons is necessary to actually prevent World War III and save humanity. He urges a complete destruction of the United Kingdom as a warning to others to stop. What I find fascinating about this is that Omar Gaddafi, way back when, suggested that if you want to stop terrorism worldwide, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London, which is that 1 square mile area right in the heart of London. That's an autonomous region, city unto itself. Meanwhile, Russia to hold first nationwide nuclear attack exercise across all 11 time zones tomorrow, October 3rd. And just think of the vastness of Russia compared to the United States. We have 3 time zones. Russia has 11. With all the brouhaha about the U.S. conducting its first nationwide emergency alert test on October 4th, Wednesday, at 2:20 Eastern, it's eerily unsettling that Russia has just announced its first nationwide civilian nuclear attack exercise one day earlier on October 3rd. This first nationwide nuclear attack exercise across 11 time zones is openly stated by Russia to be preparation for potential nuclear war. It is scheduled to take place on October 3rd, and we'll see if Vladimir Putin's regime present the West as a nuclear aggressor, which in my opinion is completely appropriate, 100%. The one-day nuclear attack exercise, which has only ever been done region by region in the past, will include preparation for the destruction of up to 70% of Russian housing stock and life support facility. Look how realistic Putin has been with the Russian people. He's saying we may lose up to 70% of our housing. You'll never hear an American president, most certainly not this administration, make any such acknowledgement or concession. It will assume for the exercise that martial law has been introduced in Russia and that it's gone through full mobilization. It seems no small coincidence that it's announced to take place just one day before the U.S. Emergency Alert System test, thanks to large publicity campaign. Almost all Americans are aware that this test will hit all cell phones, TVs, and radios on October 4th. What if Russia holds its exercise, puts a whole slew of its people in shelters, and then waits for the U.S. test to actually launch a first strike? Russia, Americans, hearing the EAS system tones on October 4th, might just think to themselves, oh, that's the national test. I don't have to do anything. But in reality, Russian missiles might actually be inbound. Such a scenario would cause massive additional American casualties in a population that was primed to ignore EAS tests that day. That's fascinating on all counts. I frankly do not believe that Russia is going to pull off such a stunt. I think Russia really wants peace. On the other hand, Russia recognizes in its foreign minister, who's Lavrov, who's like the most sophisticated and experienced diplomat in the world today, has declared that the U.S. is at war with Russia. And when the U.S. and the U.K. are instrumental in these various attacks, even on the Russian headquarters in Sevastopol. If Russia were to decide to hit the United States, it would be the perfect opportunity. Fascinating report. Meanwhile, the Balkans are on the brink of war, according to Russia. U.S. to Serbia, do not invade Kosovo. Withdraw your forces from the border. With their announcement, the Americans asked Serbia to immediately withdraw its troops from the border of Kosovo, citing an unprecedented military deployment. In fact, for the same reason, Foreign Minister Antony Blinken contacted Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić. This is the first time U.S. and Britain are seriously concerned about Serbian intervention in Kosovo and are taking military measures, especially after the armed incident in a monastery in Banjsko. The forces of KFOR, which increasingly have been put on high alert, as well as those of Kosovo, Serbian President Vučić saw the old friend Russian ambassador to Serbia in order to coordinate the movements of the two countries. I've taken a look at some of the footage, and yes, I saw a very long string of very new armored personnel carriers that did not appear to me to represent any more than a gesture, a kind of grandstanding taking place. Meanwhile, turning to American developments, we have the Senate acting swiftly on a bill to keep the government afloat. And this all happened very, very fast. The Senate throwing the House of Representatives for a loop with their introduction of a stopgap funding bill just days before the looming government shutdown deadline. The bipartisan bill, which made debut on Tuesday, proposed extending current funding levels until November 17th, and allocating nearly $6 billion in aid for Ukraine and an additional $6 billion in disaster aid I take it those numbers being the same is very, very deliberate. Well, the House went along. Senate acts swiftly on bill. McCarthy slammed Biden for shutdown chaos. The Senate is throwing the House of Representatives for a loop with their introduction of a stopgap remedy bill just days before the looming government shutdown, the bipartisan bill. As I've explained, $6 billion for Ukraine, $6 billion for disaster aid. Senate moving first on stopgap bill while McCarthy blamed Biden for a shutdown. It's happened. It's been approved. Meanwhile, I think with considerable justification, Speaker McCarthy says, bring it on. After Representative Gaetz vows notice to vacate. Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida said Sunday he will try to remove House Speaker Kevin McCarthy from his leadership position this week after McCarthy relied on Democrat support to pass legislation that avoided a government shutdown. Bring it on, McCarthy responded. Gaetz, a longtime McCarthy nemesis, said in broadcast interviews that McCarthy was in brazen material breach of agreements he made with House Republicans in January when he ran for Speaker. As a result, Gaetz said, he would be filing a motion to vacate the chair as House rules permit. McCarthy's response, so be it, bring it on. Let's get it over with. Let's start governing. No Speaker has ever been removed from office through such a move. Procedural votes to be offered to halt the motion or it could trigger a House floor vote on whether McCarthy should remain Speaker. I think we need to rip off the Band-Aid, said Gaetz. I think we need to move on with new leadership that can be trustworthy. I'm actually with Gaetz here. I think McCarthy has proven to be another rhino. Pretty damn discouraging, pretty damn disgusting. Meanwhile, here's another report. It'll come as no surprise to those who are paying attention to what's taking place. Namely, Berenson explains, there's no question that the government policy was to encourage the vax by every means short of force. We have a World Economic Forum official calling for an 86% reduction in the human population. Good question now arising in relation to what we have going on here with our test on the 4th. Does the COVID shot include wirelessly activated elements through graphene oxide that can bring about deadly consequences? Personally, I think it probably does, and I'm therefore very concerned about the test. We have Todd Callender asking if the October 4th emergency alert will spark the zombie apocalypse. We have the late Dr. Rashid Buttar. He was so outspoken. He was so effective. This guy was wonderful. He was a Stanford professor in the School of Medicine. Warns of a possible Marburg outbreak and activation using 5G. Maybe we can pick up a few words of what Dr. Buttar had to say.
Financial freedom in America may soon become a memory. The new there is something that is of a critical nature that we all need to be aware of. And this is similar to back in February of 2020. I feel like it's almost a deja vu because that's when I first started talking about this and the rest ended up, unfortunately, I wish I'd been wrong, but most of it has transpired since then. And the question that I was always asked is,
What do you think about this second wave that they're talking about? Do you think that there'll be a second wave? And I said, of course, there's going to be a second wave, but it's not going to be from the virus. It's going to be from the vaccine-induced injury, which will be compounded by the fear that they've created, which will be further compounded by the introduction of new technology, i.e. the 5G, which some people are saying is going to cause COVID. Of course, it's not going to cause COVID, but the science is clear that it causes a disruption in the voltage-gated calcium channels, causing a permeability to many different pathogens, especially enveloped viruses, of which coronavirus is one of those types, but for any type of pathogen. So this was what the concern was back then. And of course, we've seen that that happened, and then the multiple waves that came out. Well, now there's something that is going to be taking place, and I've had multiple confirmations of this, and actually heard a video and talked to one of the parties that had put that video out. And to say the least, it's disturbing, but I'm going to go ahead and just read this to you. And some of you may have already heard about this. So essentially, what appears to be coming down the pipeline is that what has been introduced within the vaccines, as we know them, the COVID vaccines, regardless of the type, they have introduced into individuals through these vaccines and the subsequent boosters other components. We have all heard of some of these components. There's talk about the nanotechnology. There's, of course, the spike protein. There are all these different things that are that have been found. There's been the graphene oxide, graphene hydroxide. There's been all sorts of different things that have been found within these vaccines, and still things that we haven't discovered. I know that about a year ago, they found Roundup, okay? That's glyphosate. That's a weed killer in the vaccines. Now, what is a Roundup, a weed killer, doing inside of vaccines? We don't understand that, but obviously there's all sorts of things that are being found that shouldn't be in the vaccines. But this portion that I'm going to talk about now is something that has been, I guess the right word I had suspicions that they're introducing something into the vaccines that are designed to cause a detrimental effect at a time when they want the detrimental effect to take place, meaning that it's almost like a sleeper cell within your own body. It's there. You don't know it's there. There's no effect from it, but then it can be called upon or triggered based upon any type of signal or chemical, or maybe two inert, relatively innocuous ingredients, but when they come together, they cause something to happen, and that would be the trigger, if you will, that would cause these sleeper cells within your body to awaken. Now, I've felt that for a long time, in fact, even before COVID, that there were things that were being introduced into our bodies that shouldn't be introduced into our bodies. But now we have confirmation of this, and I'm going to go specifically and talk to you about what is actually in there. So essentially, now from two different sources, we have confirmation, and I've talked to one of those sources myself, that there's something within the vaccines that is being considered as a bioweapon, which is, again, not a new term, but that this particular component within the vaccines, it's almost like a payload. Now, think of a payload. What does that mean, a payload? A payload is like when there's a detonation, you have a truck or a trailer, and it's got a bunch of dynamite or explosives on it. They call it a payload. It's designed to deliver a massive eruption or detonation. So they call it a payload because it's not it wouldn't be like a normal onslaught. It would be like a massive onslaught. And so there's going to be a payload with some type of pathogen that will be activated by a sequence of 5G bursts. And these will be basically off of 16 to 18 gigahertz frequency. And it will be essentially three bursts that will be sequential and last a minute. And those will be designed, those bursts will actually create a signal that will release this payload that is within the hydrogel component of the vaccine. So what exactly is in there? There's supposed to be three pathogens, and these three pathogens are, I'm not 100% sure what these pathogens are, but one of them is what they call the Marburg virus, which is essentially a pathogen that mimics the hemorrhagic fever, that creates the hemorrhagic fever component. It's similar to that. And according to, if you look that up, it says that there's a 22, I think it's a 22% to up to a 90% mortality. And Google says it's an 88% mortality, meaning that out of every 100 people that get it, 88% or 88 out of 100 will die. Now, that's designed to justify once that release has taken place, once that signal from the 5G towers signals this release. Let me take that back. It's a sequence of three bursts that lasts a minute long, and it's using the 18 gigahertz frequency, or maybe it's the 16 gigahertz frequency. I don't know specifically yet which one, but it's between 16 and 18. It will cause the hydrogel to release this payload of a virus or viral load. And they are supposed to be three different types. I don't know all the three different types, as I mentioned, but Marburg is supposed to be one of those. When that happens, then everybody that's had the vaccine and these boosters will have this Marburg virus released. And again, we know that 22 to up to 90% mortality rate, but that's when somebody encounters it, you know, in a natural way, if you will. Whether when it's inside your body, already introduced and now released within your body, it's probably going to be 100% mortality rate, meaning that everybody that has it, it's going to be triggered and it's going to be released. And
this guy is a great American. He's absolutely sound. I say my advice is turn off your phone. It's supposed to be at 2:20 Eastern time. That, of course, would be 1:20 Central. That would be 11:20 Pacific. Turn off your phone. Shut off your electronics just for the duration of the test. He says it's like 3 1-minute long blasts to activate. Well, if you've been back, by God, don't let yourself be triggered if indeed this is the case. And I'm sharing with you not out of conviction that it is the case, but rather as an advisory, why the hell run the risk? If there's a possibility this could be what's going on, for God's sake, don't let yourself be exposed. Just shut off your phone. 2:20 Eastern, 1:20 Central, 11:20 Pacific. Meanwhile, we have lots more going on. It is consistent with what you're hearing here. State of the Nation has an abridged list of fastidiously planned genocides carried out by the Khazarian cabal. I mean, this is fascinating. I'm right now engaged in discussion on UNZ.com, known as the UNZ, UNZ Review, with a new article I just published about the nature of immorality. And I mentioned in passing that Bertrand Brosol had suggested that more people have died from wars generated by religion than from any other causes. In a commentary, said about that sentence, which I'd only mentioned in passing, that was wrong. And he said only about 2% of the deaths have been caused by religion. And I found an article that seemed to confirm it, but get this. If you consider wars generated by the Khazarian cabal as religious, because remember, the Khazarians are inspired by the Talmud. You can read about it, the protocols of the elders of Zion. They believe in Jewish superiority. everyone else is inferior, that the other races only exist to serve the Jews. Well, look at this. Listen to this. Second Boer War, Russo-Japanese War, Sixth Cholera Pandemic, Mexican Revolution, First and Second Balkan Wars, Armenian Genocide, World War I, Bolshevik Revolution, Russian Civil War, 1918 Spanish Flu Pandemic, the Great Depression, Holodomor Genocide, Chinese Civil War, Spanish Civil War, World War II, the Holocaust, First Indochina War, Korean War, French-Algerian War, Israel's War of Independence, First Sudanese Civil War, 1956 Suez Crisis, Asian Flu Pandemic, Cuban Revolution, 1967 Six-Day War, Yom Kippur War, Chinese Cultural Revolution, 1982 Lebanon War, Second Lebanon War, Soviet-Afghan War, Vietnam War, 1968 Hong Kong Flu Pandemic, 1973 Oil Crisis, HIV/AIDS Pandemic, Cambodian Genocide, Rwandan Genocide, First and Second Chechen Wars, Black Monday, October 19, 1987, Japanese Banking Crisis of 1990, 1994 Mexican Peso Crisis, Yugoslav Wars, Iraq Wars, 1997 Asian Financial Crisis, 2000 dot-com bubble burst, 9/11 terrorist attack, Argentine debt default, War on Terror, Afghanistan War, Syrian War, Libyan War, 2007 real estate market collapse, 2008 stock market crash, 2009 global financial crisis, Ukraine War, COVID-19 pandemic, COVID super vaccination agenda. All these genocides have one thing in common, the Khazarian cabal. Think about it. You're right back. My special guest.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it's a great pleasure to introduce my featured guest today, just a wonderful person I've long admired, Sophia Smallstorm. She's made excellent contributions at Sandy Hook, in 2, 3, 4, 5 dimensions, to the World Trade Center attacks with a marvelous video. And of course, surprise, surprise, you're not going to be able to find them online today. They're banned. She has an original, distinctive point of view on virtually every issue. Sophia, let's begin with perhaps our least favorite governor, Gavin Newsom, who's appointed Emily Liz President LaFonza Butler to fill the Senate seat that Dianne Feinstein has just vacated upon her recent death. Some things Feinstein was even kept on ice to find the right moment to announce that she was dead. Your thoughts?
Jim, first of all, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because they had some problems getting me on. Look, I am not a good commentator on who's who in politics and who sits where. So that's not my expertise. I'm surprised Feinstein lasted as long as she did, and I saw a video by a guy called Juxtaposition. It was on the Sage of Quay blog the other day, and I was stunned. I actually put it up on my blog. The roots of Dianne Feinstein, where she came from, whom she knew, her neighbors, it would make your hair stand on end. And the American people didn't know a thing about this.
Fascinating. That's wonderful, Sophia. For one who's not really into these kinds of political issues, that's a very nice contribution.
Actually, listen, you know what? I'm going to tell you guys what it... Oh, it's right at the top of my blog now. It's called Dianne Goldman Feinstein, Friends and Neighbors. You've got to see this. SophiaSmallstorm.com is my blog, S-O-F-I-A. And this thing will just make you sit up and scream with, you know, astonishment.
Excellent. Excellent, Sophia. Would you be up for talking at all about the massive lawsuits against Donald Trump and his threat to, you know, I think his licenses to conduct business in New York may have already been canceled. He's in court today. It's on television. The Democrats are ecstatic. But I don't think a single Trump supporter is budging an inch. Do you have any thoughts there?
Listen, I watched some MSNBC and CBS reports on Donald Trump and all of his fraud and his, you know, exaggeration. He either inflated numbers and values of his assets or deflated them as appropriate in order to get loans and whatnot. And I'll just tell you what my 94-year-old mother said. She said, it's the bank's responsibility to vet the information they are getting. And if they accept a highly inflated value of something and then they give a loan on that basis, then it's their fault, right?
Yeah.
So all this, it's like retaliation against Trump. The news, the mainstream news said that all his assets are going to go into receivership now. And none of this makes any sense. But it is, as we know, Jim, all of what we see on mainstream television is a dog and pony show. And why this dog and pony show is being, you know, carried out so flagrantly in front of everyone, that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Remember the O.J. Simpson trial? Remember that? how long it took, and all of the drama and the mainstream news reporting on every tiny little detail. And in the meantime, the Clintons were, I don't know what they were doing. I heard they were executing people and carrying out business as usual, you know, their cloak and dagger stuff. So that's what we have to ask ourselves. What is going on behind the scenes while Trump is being, you know, dragged into court?
Yes. Excellent point.
And,
by the way, go ahead.
No. And is Trump playing along with this? I mean, we can't, just because Trump said he wants to make America great again, we can't believe him.
Well, we may differ on Trump, but get this, it turns out California's newest senator is a resident of the state of Maryland. Governor Newsom announced appointing this woman, Zephoria Butler, to serve out the term of Dianne Feinstein.
Right.
Records indicate Butler has spent recent years far from the constituents she'll be representing for the next 15 months. From the end of August, a federal election commission filing from the end of August for the abortion right advocacy group live in Silver Spring, Maryland, as her place of residence. Individual donation records indicate she's not lived in California since at least September of 2021. So,
Jim,
man, it's so insulting.
Jim, what happened when Hillary Clinton ran to buy a house in Chappaqua, New York, and run for the New York Senate? Come on. It was the same thing. People in New York asked themselves, what? She wants to represent us? I mean, she just came from D.C. These people, again, look at the term friends and neighbors. Maryland is not very far from D.C.
Yes.
So this is all about, you know, friends and neighbors. And when I say about Trump, we can't believe him. We can't believe anything and anyone until we are situated in a location ourselves and we see with our own eyes and we look into someone's eyes and we know that they're telling us this elusive thing called the truth, which can change from moment to moment.
Yes, absolutely true. You're absolutely right, Sophia. Now, listen, we've got a little bit of oddity today because my producer has to leave before the end of the show, and normally we would be taking calls. So what I want to do is give you the floor up until the top of the hour, take calls for the next half hour, and we could even extend, but then we can return to your commentary because we won't be able to take calls after he has to depart for medical reasons. So, Sophia, the floor is yours. Tell us what you think is most important we should understand about what's going on in the world today.
All right. I'm going to tell you what I have learned bit by bit and why and how something has been inverted so cleverly over time. So, Jim, are you familiar with the term billion electron volts?
Well, I mean, the concept of electron volts. Yeah, sure, but go ahead. Yeah.
All right. So in high energy physics, billion electron volts is a measurement of power. So back in 1969, the director of the National Accelerator Laboratory, his name was Robert Wilson, he was a physicist, he went before Congress to ask for funding for this new device that the lab was building. This lab was later renamed the Fermi Lab, very famous. And they wanted to build this thing called the 200 BeV synchrotron, which was a proton accelerator. Now, that's where you get billion electron volts. Now, this device would infuse hydrogen gas protons with 200 billion electron volts in 1.6 seconds. And as he faced Congress, the Senator John Pastore from Rhode Island wanted to know if this accelerator was going to help secure the United States in terms of defending the country. And Wilson strangely said, no, it isn't. It because the Russians were building their own synchrotron, a 70 BeV. So United States wanted a 200 BeV, right? And Wilson goes, no, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, this is a quote from him, "Are we good painters, good sculptors, great poets? All the things we really venerate and honor in our country and are patriotic about, in that sense, this new knowledge has to do with honor and country, but not with defending our country except to make it worth defending." So this concept of, is it worth defending? Now, Wilson was an artist. He was a sculptor. He was an architect. He had designed this Fermi Lab building. But in 1972, Congress gave them the money, and this 200 BEV thing was built. The lab threw a party. But in 1978, Wilson left the Fermi Lab because he didn't think Congress was giving enough funding for their projects. So what is a synchrotron? We know of synchrotrons because we know of the largest one that exists, which is owned by CERN in Europe, and it's called the Large Hadron Collider. You've heard of that, right?
Yes. Yes, okay. Of course.
So this is a proton accelerator. It smashes particle beams against one another so that scientists can study the structure of the subatomic world and the laws of nature governing the subatomic world. So one of the things they study is electromagnetism, which is one of the four forces of nature. We have the gravity, electromagnetism, strong and weak forces. And electromagnetism controls the way atoms and molecules interact, right? And atoms contain electrons. So here's where you get into this smashing electrons and smashing protons and producing all this power, this excitation of subatomic particles. As we know, Jim, today, there is no end to the funding that the government gives for this kind of weaponization. And the new weapons, they started, you know, years ago, 1916, Albert Einstein suggested using light to excite atoms. And so this is how they came up with the maser, and then they got the laser, which is an optical maser that uses light to, you know, it concentrates it into a very tight beam with a ton of power. So all these studies were really boosted by Reagan's Star Wars program in 1983, the Strategic Defense Initiative. And so now, today, lasers, microwaves, particle beams, sound beams, they're all together bundled into this term, directed energy weapons. And there's no end of funding for this. And how did it happen? How did it all happen? How did this flip where in the 60s they weren't giving enough funding and now they're giving tons of funding? So I take you to Catherine Watt. Do you know the researcher Catherine Watt?
No, I don't think I do.
She's a paralegal, and she is the one who came up with these three laws. They were acts, rather, that have led us, in terms of the activities of the government, to a point that they can perform this pharmaco-military genocide legally on the people, all right? So these three acts in particular, and there are a lot of other ones that support them, you should go to Substack and look up Bailiwick News. This is Catherine Watt. She is very, very brilliant. And so these legislative manipulations that have been designed by our government over the last few decades have enabled them to create this totalitarian state wherein we, and these are her words, Watt's words, we are designated as presumptive terrorists, insurrectionists, combatants, pre-communicable, asymptomatic, deadly disease carriers, such that killing us can be construed as legal and in the interests of national security. So those three acts are the War Powers Resolution, 50 U.S.C. 33. That was passed by Congress in 1973. And in September 2001, Authorization for Use of Military Force, that was passed by Congress. And technically, there are no limitations in time or geography, and this puts the United States in a permanent state of war. all right, with every individual, man, woman, and child, presumptively classified as a threat or enemy target. So then we have 50 U.S.C. 34, the National Emergencies Act. That was passed in 76 and renewed every year since. Okay, it's the declaration of national emergency by reason of certain terrorist attacks. And your guy, Trump, renewed it in March 2020, all right, declaring the national emergency the novel coronavirus. All right, and then we have 42 U.S.C. 68, the Disaster Relief Act. That's also called the Stafford Act, and that was passed in 1988 and cited again by Trump in his March 2020 Stafford Act declaration and renewed every year since. So this is the structure that has enabled them legally to target us. And this is how they got their emergency use authorization, weaponized COVID vaccine, which is not a pharmaceutical. It is construed as and classified as a military weapon. It is owned by the Department of Defense. And they have weaponized the weather. They have weaponized fire. They have weaponized water. They have weaponized the earth itself. So do you have any comments?
Yeah, I think you're making very, very telling points, Sophia. Very disturbing stuff. More.
Yeah, so the fact that they can take legal frameworks and write language that enables them to go from not supporting to completely supporting, over-supporting, funding. Moderna, I mean, how much money did they pay this company that was inexperienced in bringing any products to market? And Melissa Moore, the chief scientific officer of Moderna, brags that it took Moderna only 1 hour to design the mRNA for the COVID vaccine, for which they got $900 million. And over time, they've been given something like $10 billion. And the government is behind all this, drooling for more biological weaponry that will be deployed against us, the people, right?
Yep.
So, Jim, what do you think of these fires?
Oh, they're directed energy induced, Sophia. I have no doubt about it.
But, all right, so somebody contacted me because I did a show, SGT Report, and I put out a call for people who were versed in electrochemistry, people who know something about microwaves, who know something about what I call the super chemistries, because they are using these very, very sophisticated behavior mechanisms. It's an understanding that's sophisticated of behavior mechanisms of materials. We know Judy Wood from way back, and Judy Wood had the material science to comment that something very unusual happened to those buildings, right? All we, Jim, could say was that they looked like they had been deliberately demolished, not a pancake collapse, because the combination of methodology used on the Twin Towers, our videos recorded the external demolition, which was a demolition roll, which you see in sequential controlled demolition of buildings. You know, you see floor by floor, you see it rolling all the way down, even though it only took a few seconds. But internally, those towers were destroyed in a different way. They might not have even needed, I remember doing a show with you about this many years ago, they might not have needed the secondary method. But that was makeup, that was cosmetic, because that's what the video record captured. And then they had everybody arguing, was it nukes? Was it directed energy? I talked to a guy from the explosives business. He was there 2 days later, and he said, we looked for caps, we looked for wires, we looked for all kinds of things to see how this was done. And he said, we didn't see anything like that. But it looked like controlled demolition, right? So you and I and everybody else has been arguing for like 20 years about what the methodology was. And it was something very, very, very sophisticated. And maybe the first deployment of that on a big scale. So this guy called me a few days ago, and we had a long talk, and he said, somebody has a weapon that can do molecular dissociation. And he explained some of these microwave theories to me, which helped me understand that I had basically gotten it right in this newsletter that I had written. And if people want to get my newsletter, they can see on sophiasmalstrom.com an icon that shows you how to subscribe. But what we're seeing in terms of these fires, they don't behave like the fire we know, Jim. They start simultaneously in multiple locations. They destroy communities. The governor of Hawaii told us Lahaina was swept through in 17 minutes. And what did that fire do? It stripped the color out of everything, Jim. I mean, a baby could tell you that there's no color left. Everything is black and white and gray. And that is massive, massive, massive oxidation, right? If you wear a pair of blue jeans, they'll go from indigo to white over a number of years. The sun rips electrons out of them. The air rips electrons out of them. And this fire ripped the electrons out of everything except certain materials like brick and stone and certain kinds of metal like iron. But the fact that it just raced the way it did, and the fact that we see it's not just that fire, the fires in California, people have captured on video the trees burning from the inside. They are burning on the inside. They look like a lantern. The bark is not burning, but inside the tree, the whole thing is aflame. How is that possible? So I came up with the idea that this is wildfire in the sense of a wild card. When you play a card game, the wild card is player defined, right? So these events are called wildfires, as though the wilderness generates them. But they're wild in another sense. They're wild like the card you play in the game, defined by the players themselves. So wildfire is not fire as we know it. And it is a term that they have come up with that really, I think, secretly means they know what this fire is. So.
Well, we do have differences between Building 7 and 1 and 2, the North and South Tower, of course, because Building 7 was a classic controlled demolition. All the floors came down at the same time, roughly at the speed of free fall. And when it was over, there was a pile of debris equal to about 12% of the height of the original 47 floors or 5.5 floors. Whereas with the twin towers, what we saw externally was blowing apart in every direction. We didn't have that with Building 7. We saw the building being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. We didn't have that with Building 7. And when it was over, we didn't have a stack of debris equal to 12% of the 110 floors. It would have been about 13.5. We had nothing. They were reduced to, or even according to Father Frank Morales, a first responder from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, I featured twice on my radio shows, even slightly below. So they were clearly done in different ways. Now, I certainly agree, Sylvia, we seem to have had the internal destruction of the North and South Tower from the bottom up. I mean, the design was a tube within a tube. So you had the inner tube with a massive 47 core columns and all that appears to have been destroyed from the bottom up, which I believe was done with a mini nuke. And then we had the effects of all that with the external blowing apart. And I am now open to, you know, that directed energy weapons may have been used as a secondary, a supplemental, maybe in trying it out. I think Lahaina and in Paradise, we have very clear proof of the use of directed energy weapons. And I've related the study of a forensic arborist, an expert on trees, who has examined 35 fires that he is convinced were caused by directed energy weapons. And I think the evidence is simply overwhelming. And the question, you know, what can we do about it when our government is killing us? I mean, it's like with the vax, Sophia. The government is killing us. They're going to bring out another, you know, another round of the vax. They're going to try to compel people or induce them to take more, and it's going to have deadly effects. And I'm very concerned, as I explained before you joined, that the test on Wednesday at 2:20 Eastern might even be a trigger for elements inside the vax to bring about Marburgs. I even had Dr. Bashir from Stanford here talking about it a while back, that this might happen. Three blasts and 18 to 20 gigahertz that could bring about the activation. So I'm telling people, shut off your phone. Don't listen. Don't be exposed to it.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
It's wrong that it's going to activate what's already in the vax. But by God, if you've been vaxxed, why run the risk? I say, shut it off. Because as he was observing, the fatality rate, if this is true, is 100%. I mean, it's only 80 if you're encountering, you know, someone else who has it. But, I mean, those are staggering, and it's consistent with what Bill Gates observed. Well, if people weren't impressed by this pandemic, the next one is going to get their attention. Well, we have monsters, sadistic monster, genocidal globalists like Bill Gates telling us what's coming. And Sophia, I'm terribly worried that what happens on Wednesday may be a part of it.
Yeah, Jim, sorry about my phone. I forgot to mute it, but it will not ring more than one more time. All right, so listen, Jim, I'm going to tell you something about this molecular activity. I have talked to the same arborist, and he does believe these are microwave fires. His name is Robert Brame, but electromagnetic energy isn't his expertise, he told me. So the fourth state of matter is called a plasma. We have solid, liquid, gas, and we have plasma, which most people don't know about. And plasma is not an ionized gas, as a lot of people think. It's more like an electrically conductive material.
Sophia, hold that thought. We're going to the break. We will open the call, but you'll have the opportunity to complete your thoughts and any others you'd like to add. We'll be right back with Sophia Allscore.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, if you missed the memo, we have Sophia for the rest of the show, but we don't have Mitchell to field your calls. So what we do have is the opportunity now to call in early to talk to Sophia during the next half hour, 40 minutes, whatever, before Mitchell has to leave for medical reasons. Then thereafter, I'll simply continue with Sophia. But do call now if you have questions or comments for Sophia, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. It's for us a rare opportunity to have her here, and I'm delighted. Sophia, meanwhile, continue with the thoughts you were expressing before the break.
All right, well, these are not thoughts. I'm telling you about plasma, the fourth state of matter, okay? So plasma is a substance that is so ionized, so highly charged, that it's electrically conductive to the point that long-range electric and magnetic fields can direct its behavior, okay? So this is very, very important. It is so conductive, this plasma stuff, that long-range electromagnetic fields can direct its behavior. So I just looked on Wikipedia, and here are some weird characteristics of plasmas. All right, its conductivity can be treated as infinite. There are plasma-specific waves. Plasma temperatures need to be high to sustain ionization, and plasma temperature is measured in electron volts. We're back to those EVs. So there are laser-produced plasmas, magnetically induced plasmas, the Earth's ionosphere is a plasma, lightning is a plasma, and also, Jim, I learned that fire, if hot enough, can turn into a plasma. So there's a guy on YouTube, Jeff Snyder 2 is his channel, and he shows you what he calls plasma fires. They are traveling on open ground, and they are just burning in a path, and they snake around, and they burn only what's directly above them. Like, if there's some wood right above them, they'll burn the wood. But they don't spread in the way that normal fire would spread. They travel a path, okay? So I also was aware many years ago that people who put a cup of water in a microwave and heat it. Let's say they punch in 4 or 5 minutes, more than is necessary. When they reach in to get the cup out, they end up burning themselves. The whole cup, the water in it, explodes into gas, and it goes through a phase leap. It goes from liquid to gas without even boiling. This is called superheating. And then there is sublimation, which is a state of matter leap, where something can go from solid to gas without going through the liquid phase, and sublimation going the other way as well, where you can go from, you can skip a state. I'll just say that because I haven't looked into this too deeply. But this vaporization that we see, this devolution, this dissociation, to me it seems like there is some very, very high-level reaction going on, chemical reaction, electrochemical reaction. So I spoke to this guy the other night, and he told me that when molecules are excited, they want to give their energy off to the neighboring molecule. He said that one of the rules of science is you can't have more heat than your neighboring molecule. So I believe that these plasma fires are superheating water, okay, to the point that water becomes gaseous immediately. And this is why they turned the water off in Lahaina, because if there had been water coming out of those hoses and hydrants, it would have become gas instantly, and people would have said something about it, people would have been burned. There would have been a very overt demonstration of superheating going on. So when we talk about the trees, these fires that heat the water in the trees, the trunk, the internal part of the tree is the most water-rich part of the tree. So what happens is the fire causes the water inside the tree to turn to steam, and those hot, hot, hot water molecules are lending all their heat, dumping all their heat into the wood fiber, which then begins to burn because the water is already off-gassed within the tree. The bark doesn't burn because the bark throws its energy out into the air. So the bark stays cool enough not to burn, but what's contained in the tree burns. So this is why I think they turned the fire, the water off in Lahaina. And Brame says it's the water-rich trees that burn, the trees that grow by the creeks. The fire follows the creek, right? And the willows and maples and birches are burning up, whereas the avocado and bay and eucalyptus trees that are oil rich, that a normal fire burns very fast, those are not burning because there isn't as much water in them. The plastics and the polymers, the garbage cans, they don't burn. So this is, it's very, very interesting that they have a way of directing force, destructive force, to property lines. They can direct it to along a course. They can skip dwellings and target other dwellings. And I think, Jim, this is just my theory. Now it's my thought that you're hearing. The way that they're creating this digital twin, they have something called GIS, which is a geography, a way of mapping geography. I think they have a digital map, a real-time map, and this is what 5G is all about, giving them real-time imagery control on their, you know, cloud. And I think they can literally take a pen and draw a line and map out areas that then translate through electroconductivity. Because the air is a plasma now, the ground is a plasma, they've sprayed enough conductive material with their, you know, peppering of the earth with chemtrails, aluminum, strontium, barium, all these metals, that they can actually draw out a destruction path and see that it is that it happens. I think they can do it with a pen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, all this had to be computerized. They had to map out all the terrain, and you just identify what the computer has to follow in terms of its destructive path. I think what you're saying is highly plausible.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be able to do it myself or explain. It takes, you know, tons of teams. But again, I call this all capstone money. They print money. They don't even print it. I always catch myself using that word. They digitize money out of nothing. And the top huge banks do this, and then they just funnel that money down the pyramid, down the pyramid. Any person for any price will do just about anything. That's what, I mean, there's a saying to this effect, right? So
yeah.
People can be induced with the right price to execute these plans. I mean, why did those policemen stand in Lahaina and keep redirecting the people back into this contained area that was burning? What is the matter with these people? That's what I'd like to ask. What is wrong with you such that you will follow an order like that?
Yeah.
There's something wrong, and yet our fellow man all over the earth, they're all doing it.
Yes. We do have a caller here standing by from 408 area code. I believe it's going to be a familiar voice. Join a conversation.
Yeah, a great show, or should I say another great show with Sophia. So I don't know what's being discussed. In fact, I was actually going to share this the other week or so with Sophia on a phone call, but took a different direction, kind of went off the rails on another topic. But so we all have memories in our mind, what I call, I guess, the snapshot camera that is our memory in our mind of things that we've seen over the years. And I grew up all my life in the suburbs, right? So in other words, the suburbs of Cincinnati and elementary school, the suburbs of Seattle and junior high, and then the suburbs of the Bay Area from then on. And we all remember with the sky, and especially at night, what it looks like, and then also when we get away to remote areas of what it looks like as well in terms of both the background and the number of stars we can see. And I've been into some very remote areas before, and it's just amazing. I remember the way it used to look, okay, that it's a much darker, kind of an inky, like navy blue background, and then so many more stars and so much brighter. Well, it just struck me the other day, the other week actually, when I noticed, because I live at altitude right now, one of the places that I live is at 6,000 feet in the mountains, okay? And I was expecting to see this difference that I noticed from the past. You know, my mind took a snapshot of the times I've been remote and what the sky looked like at night. And it's not as dark anymore. I've seen it over and over again since I came to this observation. The sky at night is not as dark as it used to be. And I thought, why could that possibly be? And I had this thought. I said, well, maybe this conductivity that she's talked about, that I've already known about, this plasma, is conducting light similar to the way like a neon bulb would do it. I don't know. I'm just grasping at a concept here. But I promise you all, if you want to go somewhere and see what the sky or the stars look like as compared to your urban or suburban living, if that's what you're doing now, go do so. And I believe you'll notice what I have noticed, because, again, I live in the mountains at 6,000 feet, and I couldn't believe the other. I go, God, it's not dark, and I don't see as many stars. And I was wondering, you know, and get Sophia's comment on this, could that be what it is, that the atmosphere has been become conductive of this light from anywhere and everywhere?
Sophia?
Well, Clifford Carnicom years ago told me that the air has become a plasma. They have filled it with conductive materials. Whether these materials conduct light or not, they could be reflective, these very small particles, the particulate concentration in air itself is now at the level of, you know, threatening our health. The rates of morbidity and mortality that correspond with particulate matter in the air are kind of, there's a striking parallel, and people should be concerned. The FAA used to say years ago, I believe that's the aviation agency, right, that good visibility was, you know, 10 to 15 or more miles, and now it's down to about 5 miles. This is considered good visibility. And if you look at the horizon any day, especially if you've got an ocean line to follow, you will see that there's a line of, it looks like smog on every horizon now. You don't have to be near LA for that. So particulate matter in the air, it could be reflective to the point that it conducts light. But also we have, I've noticed the same thing as Paul has. We have, you know, greatly more powerful street lamps and city areas. I know that when I look off to the east, I see the city of Escondido. The lights are in the sky. They're generating a light haze into the sky. So, anyway, plasma is the fourth state of matter, and plasma is what these destructive forces are operating on. I think there's something plasmic to the properties of this destruction, but again, that is beyond my understanding. So we have wildfire, we have the effort to dislocate populations, particularly those that may not be able to rebuild their lives because they don't have enough assets. The governor of Green, Josh Green, had a speech that he made at a press conference on September 8th, and he said some very, very strange things. Now, he said that the era of climate change is already here, and I would redefine climate according to a new definition that I found in the dictionary. I wouldn't say it's new. It's one of the lower-ranking definitions. Climate is defined as a prevailing condition of human affairs, all right? So let's forget about weather in terms of climate change and use this definition, a prevailing condition of human affairs. And that's what they're changing. They are forcing population relocation. They are rebuilding this smart world that they want to build. And they're using the theory of island biogeography, I think, because there has to be a reason, Jim, and you think about it, that the United States military has bases on almost every island in the world, right?
Yes.
Their bases are there, and the reason is that islands are discrete, and that's the biological, ETE, discrete. They are tight, they are set apart, there is less ingress and egress of people, life forms, animal forms. So throughout the study of biology, a subpart of population biology is island biology, and also written about as island biogeography. The famous naturalist Edward Wilson wrote a book titled The Theory of Island Biogeography. And so it explains that islands are insular and they have their own dynamic equilibrium. And you can more easily track the effects of immigration and extinction due to introduction of new materials or new life forms to an island population. So here we have an island that is ethnically distinct, Maui, where we have now a very huge destruction that took place, and the 15-minute city is already being discussed. So why not start this 15-minute city on an island to see how fast and clearly its ethnic patterns break down? So the governor, and I'm going to read what he said at his press conference. He said, the era of climate change is already here. We're going to all have to begin mitigation tactics now against the threat of climate change, all right? Or we pay later. And the difference will be, if we wait, there will be loss of life. So he says, the era of climate change with enhanced storms, those are all man-made, Everyone is vulnerable. What we do in Hawaii will lead by example. And when people see the pain we have suffered, they will take us seriously. He said this, now, smart legislatures and governments will make good investments in mitigation. Dumb ones will eventually experience a terrible disaster like this.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Jim?
Yeah? I'm very pleased Paul's with us today. This is
Jim, you
fascinating.
Sounded as dumbfounded as I by listening to what she just said, that governor said. I had not heard that quote before. Jesus Christ Almighty.
Yeah. He's telling the world, everybody needs to go ahead and get these measures in place now. If you don't, you will be punished. You will experience a terrible disaster.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, this is the thing. There are massive amounts of funds going to Hawaii. I call it capstone money to rebuild Maui in this new way. All right. And there was a guy, I put his video on my blog as well. He shows the twinning of the proposed development plans with the very areas that were burned to bits. Okay. There are already plans for this kind of development, that kind of development on the books. And they burned those areas, they dislocated those people, so they have nothing to say because their situation, they're in dire straits now. They need a roof over their head. And again, I said in my newsletter, how quickly will a stressed populace accept solutions of the state? So this is disaster capitalism, Jim. They burn these forests because there are impact investors waiting in the wings. This is called reforestation, pay for success investment. And these people are going to reseed the forests with GMO trees, trees that are non-reproductive, that have to be licensed every year by counties and governments and states, licensed, okay? There's not going to be any squirrels or birds flying around these forests because they're not going to be alive in the same way. And that's disaster capitalism. That's where you really track the influx of immigrated species, the GMOs, against the extinction rate of the natural species.
Mitchell, who has to leave shortly, has a question or comment. Mitchell, join the conversation with Sophia and Paul and me, please.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hello, Sophia. I guess my question, is... can we get past the psychological and the psychological operations that have been directed at the general population? You know, before we could even get through to people to really get them this information, don't they have to be deprogrammed like they came from a cult?
You're talking about the public at large being under mind control?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, they have to stop watching their televisions, they have to turn off their phones, they have to start, you know, rubbing elbows with ordinary folk, their family members, they have to ask each other, how are you? I mean, the thing is, we live a very artificial existence now, and we're all little islands that are fed and programmed by devices. I said this long ago, years ago, that the second dimension of our screens is really directing our life. And our third dimension, real life, is just a container. How many times have you seen somebody crossing the street oblivious to traffic coming at them because they're looking at their phone? The third dimension doesn't matter. So we have to get people to invest again and situate themselves in the third dimension. You know, bake some cookies.
I can't. I'm sorry to laugh at that, but it just out of nowhere, bake some cookies. It had a sort of humorous. But yeah, no, the point you're making is absolutely correct. We've all been atomized. That was a term I first heard, I don't know, in the late 70s or early 80s, the atomization of society. And as that was completely accentuated by cell phones. I mean, again, I've made the point that I've been out in public and seen two people obviously together, a couple. They could have been together a while. I don't know, but they're both engaged in their phones, and they're with each other. You know, I just find it very interesting.
So I just finished reading a book called The Cold Vanish, and it's about a spooky topic. He doesn't get into the deepest spookiness of it, but apparently people disappear in national forests at a very high rate. Are you aware of this, Jim? And
no, Rich? Not at all. That's remarkable.
Oh my God. There is a guy online, David Politis. He's like one of the big authorities on this. And some people question us, you know, what his real motivation is. But, oh, yeah. And the government doesn't keep track, same way it doesn't keep track of kidnapped children. It doesn't keep track of people who disappear in the national forest. And the numbers are staggering. I mean, like 100,000 people already disappearing.
100,000?
Oh, huge numbers. God, in every national forest. Yeah.
That is bizarre.
It's bizarre. Yeah. And it's this easy, Jim. It's this easy and innocuous. I mean, it could happen because of, you know, natural, I'll just call this natural means. Somebody like it's a lot of people in their 50s. They go for a little hike on a very well-known, well-traveled trail. And then somebody leaves the trail just to go a few feet into the brush to pee, right?
Yeah.
And trying to find the right place to go to the bathroom, they turn in this direction, turn in that, and then they get all turned around. They don't know where they came from. And they can become lost just a few feet away from the trail and never find the trail again.
We have another caller standing by from area code 917. Caller, please give us your first name and state and join the conversation.
All right. Good afternoon, all. Good afternoon, Sophia. This is Reese from New York City right now. Sophia, let me just add this to the mix. Amongst other things, I happen to be a structural engineer, but we won't even go into the aspects of 9/11. I studied the blueprints for the trade centers while I was in college, so I knew it was
stand by Reese. We'll be right back, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be right back after this break with Reese from New York. Sophia Paul.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B. for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Sophia Smallstorm's my guest today. Paul's here, and Reese from New York has just called in. Reese, your thoughts.
Okay, Sophia, what I would like to address is something that most people either don't know about or they are not factoring into the equation. I happen to be an expert in cult mind control, which is cognitive dissonant thinking and double mind programming. And I deal with these people on a regular basis, and I am seeing the phenomenon of cognitive dissonance almost with anyone I pass by on the street nowadays. Anyone I have a casual conversation with, I'm not talking about somebody in a bona fide cult. Any American you talk to, especially the left, are cognitive dissonant. And of course, this goes back to Yuri Bezmenov in his famous interview in 1982, I believe it was, where he revealed this is exactly what the communists were going to do. So what I'm asking you, you know, like what I'm not asking you to do, what I'm asking you to consider is the effect of what a cognitive dissonant mind has on your approaching them and presenting them with facts. Have you considered that?
Yes, of course. I mean, we try it all the time, and they just look at you with those glazed over eyes. And this is what I was getting to, if you were listening to what was said just a few minutes ago about the missing persons. So, yeah, people disappear in the national forest. We don't know exactly why. Large numbers of them. And, I mean, maybe the feds are doing who owns the national forest, for that matter, right? You have
all right.
Look at that. But here's the other thing. There's another use of missing person, and it has to do with psychiatry. Alzheimer's sufferers are considered missing persons, right? So now you know where I'm going. The cognitive dissonance that you're referring to is the mark of a missing person.
Well, yes. But hold on, you're speaking with someone who has more than a little bit of experience on this subject. That would not be a good definition. I'm going to give you a simple definition for the listeners out there. I'm going to tell you what cognitive dissonance is, simply stated. Cognitive dissonance is a state that occurs to your mind when you remain in denial of facts and reality for a prolonged period of time. It's something that occurs within the brain structure, the synapses, let's say, that what it does is that the cognitive dissonance of your mind, because of being in malignant ignorance for so long, prevents any facts or information from penetrating. It's like living in an invisible prison. It has no walls or bars, but people cannot get into you. because it actually creates an open air prison that will defend, let's say, the hive. If you're a leftist, it'll defend the hive. So if you start bringing out, as Jim Fetzer does, fact after fact exposing this phony Biden, the leftist who's cognitive dissonant will immediately dismiss it and go on to attack you and impugn your motives. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we're speaking in very similar ways. I'm using a creative license, and you are using also analogies. When you talk about an invisible prison, that's, you're making an analogy. So, yes, people are, their true humanness is missing. If you told somebody, turn around, there's a snake, a rattlesnake behind you, would they turn around? Would they care? Hopefully, right? So something has happened to these people such that when we try to explain danger to them, when we try to point out the true nature of what's happening around them and that it is very likely harming them, they are not able to understand it.
You know what? I happen to be a particularly have expertise in the Jehovah's Witness cult. And as I actually used to do a broadcast in which I would address various cults and similar groups, Satanists, secret societies. But the Jehovah's Witnesses really caught my interest because what you're describing, Sophia, is disturbingly apparent in these people. I'll give you a simple example. A parent or parents will watch the life of their child slip away from them on the operating table because they won't take a blood transfusion. Now, the doctors have been in to speak to the parents and explain that the blood transfusion is safe, that it's really not a violation of anybody's conscience, that there's no reason not to accept blood. We'll even accept it from a family member if you think you're afraid that you might catch a disease. Those parents will deny it. They'll remain in denial based on malignant ignorance of what they were conditioned to believe, which is nonsense based on a twisting of Bible verses, and they will watch the life of their child slip away on the operating table rather than just say to the doctor, go ahead and administer blood. That is what real brainwashing does to people. And you know what? What you're saying is in line with that, because I believe right now we're looking at an American public that is accepting these poison death jabs, as Dr. Zelenko referred to them. It's almost like that episode, and I'm sure Jim Fetzer remembers this one of Star Trek. Remember the disintegration chamber when they were conducting civilized war and people in mass would go into the disintegration chamber, you know, with hardly an expression on their face of any concern? That's what we're living in. That's our reality right now.
Well, that's if I may jump in here. So, yes, that
please,
was very
go ahead, Paul.
That was a very interesting episode. I remember it well, just like I remember a lot of those episodes, because I really do believe they were trying to say something in many ways. That's the thing that we're missing today on TV. There's a lot of shows and movies you can watch now, and you just go, what the hell was that all about? But back then, you know, there was a lot of things going on that you really could see what it was. It's similar to the movie The Time Machine with the Eloi and the Morlocks. You know, they're really trying to say what the human condition for the most part was. I would just take a little bit of a difference between what Reese has been saying and what Sophia is. I mean, it's all ways of looking at the same thing. But I do believe that some people have just not been exposed enough. We, for whatever reasons, all of us here and many others listening, have for one reason or another sort of chosen to expose ourselves to this information and been more open to it. And there's a lot of people, they just need a little bit more frequent contact. That's really all it will take. And that's why everybody's saying people are waking up. I've experienced this in my own life. People indeed are waking up. And I believe it has to do, you know, of course, with the internet and shows like this. But it's what a college professor told us. I remember one of my first semesters in college where he was trying to tell us how to learn. He was doing us a favor by saying, this is what you should do. And he mentioned frequent contact with the subject material. He said, that's the way to academic success. Frequent contact with the subject material. So I think that will, in time, hopefully quickly, overcome some of this cognitive dissonance. But yeah, my two cents for the moment.
Good, Paul. Sophia.
Well, in advertising, they say 5 to 8 exposures will lead a person to make a purchase, you know? So frequent exposure, frequent contact. But again, if something scares you, you don't want to know about it. And no, being faced to look at, forced to face it is maybe not what people will respond to. I don't know. This may be a new phenomenon in the evolution of our cultures, right?
Right.
I mean, does this happen if you went to a tribe of Zulus and you tried the same thing? Would they resist you like this? You wouldn't have to necessarily explain what superheating is or something, you know, that's out of their normal. I'm talking about very primitive cultures. If you were to tell them that there was a monster in the jungle that was you had seen and it was on its way over there, would they believe you or not?
And Jim, just real quickly, too, back to what she was referring to with people going missing, the guy, David Paulides, I believe is how you would say it. He was on, I believe, Art Bell more than a couple of times and also on some other shows. And I believe he wrote a book called Missing 411, or that was the name of a series that he did. I've heard many of his shows in the past. And it was very interesting. He would often use newspaper accounts and interviews with family members and so forth. And there were people, for whatever reason, on YouTube and other places that would, you know, try to discredit some of his work. I don't know what to make of that. But, yeah, it was an absolutely fascinating topic, Jim, or anybody else, if you want to look into it. I believe it's just Missing 411. And, yeah, people just disappeared under the strangest circumstances without a trace. And they also had searches. I'm sure Sophia knows this, where they would just sooner or later they're going to find a body. They're going to find clothes. They're going to find something. And in many cases, they found absolutely no trace, even after organized searches, which in most cases would turn up something.
Yeah.
Can I jump in?
Yeah.
When you get a minute, I'd like to jump in. Go ahead, Sophia.
No. I was just going to agree that this guy, I read a book called The Cold Vanish, and I think the guy is John Billman or something, but he was a writer for Outside Magazine and other, you know, adventure-type publications, and he looked into many, many, many cases of missing people, and they often disappear near a body of water, and they're often found near a body of water. So anyway, for what that's worth.
Reese, go ahead.
What I wanted to say was, I'm also, my expertise is in challenging and debunking some of the agents of disinformation that are out there. I'll name two, Zachariah Sitchin and Jordan Maxwell. I've challenged Jordan Maxwell to a debate. He's never accepted. He's passed away since, as well as Eric Phelps. Eric John Phelps is another phony fraudster that I was going to unmask. But he never even accepts phone calls on his programs because he knows he could be unmasked. But my question to you is, I've heard that person, I think Paulides, Paul had mentioned, can you corroborate that this many people have gone missing? It's one thing to say it. That's a lot of people. What corroborative evidence can you give that 100,000 people have gone missing?
All right. Well, I said that because there was a huge number in the book, and let me go get the book. Hold on 1 minute.
I think it's 40,000, if I remember correctly. I thought it was 40,000 when I heard him on Coast to Coast.
I do know it's a huge number. And again, you know, how many children have been in the trafficking world? How many children have disappeared, right? We don't really know. But
what I'm saying is we can't make a logical extension that because children disappear. I also believe Satanists, Ted Gunderson, who had been 25 years in the FBI in charge of investigating this phenomenon, said that there's probably 2.5 million practicing Satanists in America. So that would explain a lot of the missing children that started missing and appearing on milk cartons years ago. Remember the Johnny Gosch story? By the way, Jim Fetzer, listen to this. Johnny Gosch was a 12-year-old boy that went missing back in the 1970s. His mother never found him. Years later, she never gave up. Somebody came to her door and said, Noreen, I want to tell you your son is still alive, and I'm going to identify him under his new identity. His new identity was Jeff Gannon, a press correspondent in the White House under George W. Bush. from Israel, Jim, with Israeli credentials. And what she did is she looked at photographs. He was now a homosexual that was being used as an escort. They would bring him into the White House where he would be with his buddy Georgie Boy after hours and stay overnight. That's now documented that he stayed overnight in the White House. Well, Noreen Gosh went to the police chief and the sheriff's department and said, I'd like you to investigate because my son has a tattoo, not a tattoo, I'm sorry, a birthmark around his chest that's shaped, I believe, like a heart. Jeff Gannon had that birthmark, Jim. What do you think about that?
Well, I've heard a lot about this guy being at the White House all the time. I had no idea it was a missing child. That part is a surprise, but that W had this guy coming in all the time for sex, gay sex is not, yep. That's not news. The origin of the rest of the story is very stunning.
Oh, yeah. And also Tony Blair. He was also a lover of Tony Blair. So what they did is they were abducting children. And as a matter of fact, the boy named Paul Bonacci was with the group that had taken Johnny Gosch into the car when he was delivering newspapers that morning. And he blew the whistle on the whole operation that it was a nationwide operation. People were being flown around in jets. Children were being used to blackmail our politicians.
Gotcha. But this is another show. It's another show. This whole topic, I get it. I'm very familiar with this as well. I actually met Ted Gunderson and talked to him a couple of different times. I used to take his little, he had like a little newsletter publication. I'm very familiar with the book, The Franklin Cover-Up. There's a lot of truth in what he's saying, but it's just taking the show in another direction. This is a whole topic
sure.
in itself.
Go ahead, Paul. Get us back on track.
I don't know how I can do that. I didn't have a plan to get us back on track.
Paul, Jim, can I address something to Paul?
Sure.
Paul, I had listened to RBN last night, and I heard you call into a program. I had not been listening to it. I just dialed, tuned it in for a minute, and you were challenging some guy named Day or Dayo, and he was rambling with nonsense.
Io Kamasi, yes. Yeah.
You remember that, okay?
Yeah, this that's a whole guy, other topic as well.
I was trying to get on. They wouldn't put me on. And let me tell you something. I would have taken this guy to school if I was able to get on because I was like, I couldn't believe the nonsense that he was spewing with you. We won't go into it now because I don't want to take the program in that direction. But Sophia, I want to mention to you that what they have done in our country is that they have implemented cognitive dissonance programming, double mind programming on the public in the school system and the universities. So the major problem we have, and remember, I'm dealing with people under cult mind control on a regular basis. The problem is you could show it to them. I brought someone, I'm going to give you an example, a document from Washington, D.C. with the seal of the members, the board of trustees of the Watchtower Society, acknowledging that they had basically hoodwinked their members and were lying to them with the seal on it. And I showed it to a member of that cult. You know what he told me? He said, I don't believe it. I believe that that document was probably made by the devil himself. Now, this was not a person that was in a mental institution. This was a person that was looked educated, looked reasonable, well-dressed, and has a gainful income from his employment. And he said he believed the devil himself produced a document with the seal, the corporate seal and the signatures of the board of directors of the cult that he's involved with.
So I would just say this before we begin, we're running low on time. It's okay. It's been a very interesting exchange. I would encourage you, Reese, if you're not familiar with this work called The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton, I believe. There's a whole interesting, not just psychology to belief and belief systems, but there's an actual biology to it as well. So this is what we have to overcome. You did make a great point, though. There's no doubt about the fact that some very strange forms of programming and mind control have been introduced in public education, and it really is a major problem. It's a travesty.
Oh, it's a major problem that was corroborated by the guy that was a KGB agent in charge of that operation that defected first to Canada and then to America named Yuri Bezmenov. So this is not a theory here, Paul. This is established fact that is corroborated by somebody that was a principal witness, that was a player that left the communism because he realized it was a ruse for basically the takeover of nations and subjugation of them to a Soviet dictatorship. So in other words, what he said was that Andropov, who was in charge at that time of the KGB, never in his wildest dreams imagined the success that they would have in implementing this brainwashing, which is cognitive dissonance on the American public. This is a major issue right now that needs to be addressed, because you cannot help someone if they're cognitive dissonant. Facts and information have little or no effect on them.
Well, again, they don't really have the facts or the information. They're just, they're empty vessels. I've proved this over and over in conversations with people when you ask them to tell you what it is they mean or tell you what it is they think about any particular term or concept, and they can't articulate anything. You know, it could be the viruses, it could be any number of things. I mean, you know how many
and
times
that's what I mean by missing persons.
Yes. Good point.
Yeah. And okay, I have the book here, and I had 100,000 on the brain because that's the lump sum they compare the missing people with, this many people missing per 100,000. But okay, it's tremendous. So the National Institute of Justice calls missing persons the nation's silent mass disaster. They estimate that on any given day there are 80,000 and 90,000 people actively listed with law enforcement as missing. Okay, any given day there's 90,000 missing people. But most of these go missing in populated areas. Many are found. However, the federal government keeps no statistics on people vanishing into the wild. California is a huge wild state with a large population, has the most missing persons. Right now, as of the book year the book was written, 2,133. This is not found, okay? And then you've got Rhode Island with very few, Alaska with a huge percentage per 100,000 of population. Arizona is number two in terms of missing per capita. And again, the government doesn't care. It doesn't care. It keeps track of all kinds of animals that roam its lands, public lands as they call them, but not people that disappear. And you know what? Here's another very interesting thing. The Bureau of Indian Affairs, Indian reservations have an epidemic of people, especially women, that go missing.
Sophia, let me ask you a question. Do you have a spiritual worldview, or are you just a naturalist that does not believe in powers beyond the physical realm?
You and I have to have that discussion privately.
No, I'm just asking you a simple question. In other words, do you believe in...
There is no... I do not have a simple answer to that.
I can give you a simple answer.
For me? You can answer for me?
No, for myself.
All right, then that's fine. I do not have a simple answer for myself.
Okay, then can I bring out a point? Then can I bring out a point? I'm not going to ask you a question. Would you explain to me why our elites gather in the Bohemian Grove every year in late July and carry on an elaborate satanic full-blown ritual complete with cloaked priests and a human sacrifice ritual before a 40-foot stone owl, which is supposed to be Moloch from the Old Testament? Would you explain to me, if there is no spiritual powers at work, why our elites who have PhDs, you know, they're graduated from Ivy League universities, would be participating in such a very highly risk ritual? Why would they do it if they didn't believe there was any power in it?
Listen,
Paul, go ahead.
Paul wants to answer your question, but you've posed it to me, and I think you're falling off your question podium a few times there already.
Right. No, I was just going to make – don't
would
ask –
you point out to me where? Point it out, please.
Don't ask run-on presumptive questions if you just want a genuine answer. Your questions, Paul, are presumptive.
Please don't speak for me, Paul. And if you want to debate me, I'll debate you any time on the air.
Reese,
I'll take you to school.
Reese,
go ahead.
Let Paul answer.
He was presumptuous.
You know what?
Reese, you're being presumptuous, damn it all. Just let me manage this.
I'm responding Because he was presumptuous.
Jim, here's the reason.
I'm asking Sophia.
Yeah, you
question,
did, and
please.
She didn't really want to answer. She already answered.
And then Paul jumped in as if he didn't respect Sophia that she could answer for herself. Do you realize he's patronizing you, Sophia?
Hey, listen, he's patronizing you. No, I'm going to give him.
Oh, you're being patronized, Sophia. You must not be a feminist.
Reese,
come on,
Reese, for a second. Reese, I'm patronizing you, okay? And all your
Paul, listen, Paul. I could run circles around you, Paul. I will run circles around you any day in an open debate.
Please, don't be so aggressive and defensive for crying out loud.
No, he's being aggressive, Jim, and you're ignoring
it. Stop it,
Reese. You're ignoring it.
Reese, shut up.
Jim, I want an answer to my question.
Reese, shut up.
I want an answer.
Paul, go ahead. Reese, I'm not going to have you on anymore if you're going to be obnoxious like this. Just shut up.
Jim, if that's the way you are, I won't come on anymore.
If good. Paul,
your cognitive dissonance,
Jim. You are so out of line here. It's very bad.
No, Jim,
I was glad to give you a lot of time today.
Because you're being so partisan.
You're being so partisan.
You're being unprofessional and unethical.
Let me see if I can get rid of you, Reese. Let me see if I can get rid of you. I don't have.
I'm sorry, I don't have
Mitchell here. Go ahead, Paul. Say your thing.
Well, I just was going to make a joke. I said the reason I couldn't debate Reese is because I'm not an expert in so many things. He's an expert.
I know.
Architect. He's an expert in cult mind control. He's an expert in Jehovah's Witness. And he actually had to tell us he's an expert before he started talking.
I know. Anyway, he doesn't realize that it weakens his position rather than strengthens it. Sophia, would you like to work a word in edgewise?
I just wanted to make the parallel between the fact that we have in mental illness, well, I wouldn't say that Alzheimer's is a mental illness in a sense. It is. It is. Whatever they call it, mental illness, psychiatry, medical illness, those are called missing people. And this cognitive dissonance is similar in that people can't articulate what they believe. I bet you a lot of these people don't know who they really are because they've been distracted by so much input from the screen. You know, the screen is now an integral part of our life. And Jim, you were saying that people should shut it off on the fourth, and that would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
we did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their